Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're diving into stablecoins today. You guys know how we roll here. We want to help you understand complex topics quickly and thoroughly. And you sent us this really cool visual breakdown that explores the key elements of stablecoins.
Yeah.
So let's demystify these things, right? Mm-hmm. Different types, how they maintain their stable value, all that good stuff.
Sounds good. That visual you sent is a great way to cut right to the core of it. It starts off with like the most basic question, centralized or decentralized, like right off the bat.
Yeah. Okay, so it starts there. So what does that even mean for stablecoins? What does that difference in control tell us?
So at its heart, it's about who's in charge, right?
Yeah.
Who has the authority? So a centralized stablecoin, think of it like it's issued and controlled by a single entity, like a company.
Yeah.
And they hold reserves of some asset that backs it up. Usually it's just plain old traditional currency.
Right, actual dollars or something.
Right, like dollars or euros. So basically it's kind of like a digital IOU for real money that they're holding somewhere. Now, on the flip side,
so we have to actually have it.
Yeah, they've got to have it.
Okay.
Now, a decentralized stablecoin, that's where things get interesting because the goal there is to be independent. No central authority calling the shots.
Uh-huh.
It relies more on code and like community governance to run the show.
So it's like the community owns it.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone's got a say. And that brings us to the next big question on that visual, collateral.
Right. Because if these coins are supposed to hold a steady value, what's actually backing them? What's guaranteeing it?
Exactly. So let's start with centralized stablecoins again. They're often backed by off-chain collateral. That's the fiat currency reserves, the real-world money we talked about.
Uh-huh.
But, and this is where it gets cool, the visual also shows on-chain collateral.
Oh.
Meaning that sometimes they use other cryptocurrencies as backing, and those are directly locked up on the blockchain itself.
Gotcha. So it's crypto backing crypto.
Right, exactly. And with decentralized stablecoins, there's a lot of talk about over-collateralization.
Okay, so break that down. What does over-collateralization actually mean in practice?
So basically, it means they're playing it extra safe, holding more collateral than the actual value of the stablecoins they issue.
All right.
For example, let's say they issue $100 worth of a stablecoin. They might lock up $150 worth of another cryptocurrency just to be sure.
To be safe.
To back it up. So even if the price of that underlying collateral drops, they're still covered.
Like a buffer.
Yeah, like a buffer. And the visual also mentions real-world assets, or RWAs, as another form of off-chain backing. Even some decentralized stablecoins might use those.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's a whole spectrum of how these things are backed up.
So we talked about what backs them, but there's also that quick mention on the visual about revenue. Mm-hmm. How do these issuers, both centralized and decentralized, actually make money off of this whole thing?
Right. So for the centralized guys, it's often pretty straightforward. They earn interest on those reserve holdings, the actual money they're holding.
Makes sense.
Or they might charge fees for creating and redeeming the stable coins. But with decentralized models, it can get a bit more creative. They might redistribute revenue from things like transaction fees or other protocol activities back to their token holders, or use it to keep the whole system running.
Keep the lights on.
Exactly. And that often involves these things called reserve and governance tokens.
Okay, so how do those factor in?
Well, reserve tokens can be used to kind of manage any price fluctuations. They can be bought or sold to influence the stablecoin's value, keep it stable. And then governance tokens, those give the holders the right to vote on any changes to the stablecoin's rules. So it's a way for the community to have a say.
Okay, so we've talked about what backs them and how they make money, but I think the most important question is still, how do they actually stay stable?
Right, it's like the million-dollar question.
The whole point.
The whole
what are the mechanics behind it?
The visual points to a few key methods. So for those algorithmic decentralized stablecoins, they rely on code. Smite contracts, basically. It's self-executing code that automatically adjusts the supply of the stablecoin depending on what's happening in the market. That's how they try to maintain their peg to whatever they're pegged to, like
right.
The dollar.
Maybe one-to-one.
Exactly. But for both centralized and decentralized types, the collateral itself also plays a huge role in maintaining stability. It's like the foundation.
Makes sense.
And then there's the issuance and governance of tokens. We touched on that a bit earlier. So remember, reserve tokens, they can be bought or sold to influence the stablecoin's value. And governance tokens give holders voting rights to change the rules.
It's all about control.
Right. Yeah. It's all about control and how you use these different mechanisms to maintain that stability.
Now, the visual has some pretty interesting numbers on it. It says 91% next to central bank digital currency. So CBDC. And then it's got 8.5% next to decentralized stablecoin mixed or fractional. So what do those numbers tell you?
Right. So the visual doesn't say exactly where those numbers come from, but to me, it looks like they're probably pointing to the level of interest or maybe development work going on in those areas. So 91% for CBDCs, that's a huge number. And it suggests that there's a massive global focus on them right now.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because they're a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Explain that.
So CBDCs are basically just a digital version of a country's regular currency.
Issued by the government.
Issued directly by the central bank. So totally different from both centralized and decentralized stablecoins.
Like a digital dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Like a digital dollar backed by the U.S. government.
Mm.
And then 8.5% for the mixed or fractional decentralized stablecoins, that seems to indicate that there's growing interest in models that use a mix of different assets as collateral.
So maybe not fully backed by one thing.
Yeah, or maybe they're only partially collateralized and rely on other mechanisms to maintain their value. So it's like they're experimenting with different ways to make these things work.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, if you're following along with us, what are the really big things to remember about stablecoins? What's the takeaway?
All right, so I'd say the most fundamental choice you got to make is centralized versus decentralized. And that really boils down to what's important to you. Do you want the direct oversight and maybe the stability that comes with a central issuer calling the shots? Or do you prioritize transparency, no censorship, like that kind of decentralized ethos?
Yeah.
And how a stablecoin is backed, that's super important too. Whether it's traditional currency, other cryptocurrencies, or a combination of different things, that directly impacts how stable it's going to be and the risks involved.
Right.
And lastly, I think it's crucial to remember that CBDCs are a separate category altogether. Digital fiat currency issued by governments.
Totally separate.
They're not even playing in the same league as stablecoins.
Right. So we've gone over these different approaches, different ways to create a stable digital currency, how centralized they are, what backs them, how they maintain their price. It all leads to a pretty big question. So think about it. What are the pros and cons of each of these models? Like if you were going to use them every day,
right,
how would they affect our financial system? Which approach do you think strikes the best balance? It's something to think about. That's our deep dive for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya.